over to Chris now.
Hi, John.
Hiya.
Hi, John. Can you tell me your full name, your date of birth, and where you were born, please?
Yeah, I'm John James Walsh. The date of birth is 13/11/41, and I was born in Liverpool.
Wow.
In the maternity hospital in Liverpool.
You were born on the same day that I was, John, 13/11.
What year?
69. I'm a bit younger than you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, John. Can you tell me a little bit about your early life, your family, your background, your early childhood?
Well I was born in 41, and it was the taxi got lost in Sefton Park, taking me to the maternity hospital.
Really?
Anyway, my father was in the Royal Library, and he was an air raid warden. And then he went and on the Navy.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't an air raid warden, he was at St John's.
Okay.
Yeah. He went in the Navy, and he was on an aircraft carrier called HMS Lula, which is the first ship to take prisoners back from Japan to Australia, you know. And then he'd been to the doctors before he went in the Navy, and they said there was nothing wrong with him. But he came back, and he was in Japan, and it was tumour on the brain.
Mm.
And he had 20 operations.
Mm.
And eventually he died in Morton Hospital when I was about 6.
Oh, dear. Oh.
And then we moved house, we moved over to Wallasey for 18 months, and we came back and we lived in Rose Lane in a flat, and then we bought a house in Eastcote Road, which is Liverpool 19.
Mm.
And then I was at Brooker Avenue School.
Yeah.
And then I come to the Blue Coat in 1953.
Right.
And so were you boarding at the school, John?
I was a boarder, yes. Yeah.
And did you have any brothers or sisters who'd come to the school, or were you just...
No, no. My mother and father, my mother lost 5 children.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was this business of the same blood, you know, do you know what they heard of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's hard to carry children, isn't it, when you have the same blood?
My sister lived till 18 months before I was born, actually.
Yeah.
But she died of pneumonia.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
It must have been horrific for your mother.
Mm.
And then she lost my dad.
Yeah.
So, I came to the Blue Coat in 53.
Mm.
Right. So in the sequence of 6 children, which were you? What number were you?
I think I was the one before the last, so
right.
That would be number 5.
Number 5, okay. So I take it you came to Blue Coat because your mum couldn't really cope, is that correct?
Well, yes, I mean, I don't know whether she couldn't cope, but we were able to get a grant to go to the Blue Coat,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So helped financially for her anyway.
Well, she was when my father died, she went back as a school secretary at Jingle Vale.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then afterwards, she went back to ICI as in the shipping office in ICI in India
right.
Building.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, what was it like at Blue Coat at that time?
It was a hard regime, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was fair.
Yeah. And how did you settle into being a boarder in a dormitory with lots of other?
Oh, I didn't mind it, you know.
You didn't mind it?
No.
And
I got used to it, but it was very, very routine, very, very regimented.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yes,
yeah.
So how old were you when you actually entered the school?
I was 11.
11. So, and did you find your feet? Did you make friends easily? Was that okay?
I made friends. Or I had a bully that bullied me the whole way through the school. You know, I was in the modern section.
Yeah.
and he bullied me the whole way through the school.
Really?
And when I went swimming,
yeah.
I wear glasses.
Yeah.
When I went swimming, he could bully me even worse, couldn't he? But he was psychological. He was banging on the... he was bullying me one day, and I banged on a window, broke a window.
Yeah.
I had to go to the headmaster's study where he caned me for breaking the window.
Without
finding out the reason.
Yeah.
Now, he was there for to look after me, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The headmaster. But obviously, you couldn't tell anybody you were being bullied, but this fellow bullied me the whole way through the school.
So was he a year older than you, or in the same class?
I've got a feeling he was in the same class, and I cannot think of his name.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is a good thing.
Mm. Well, indeed, yes. So
but I went on trips with the abroad with the school twice.
Yeah. Where did you go?
I went on that one where the boy was killed. Have you heard about that?
No, tell us about that.
It was to Belgium and Luxembourg.
Yeah.
And we went to Luxembourg in a place called Diekirch.
Yeah.
And there was a river swimming pool, and this lad went on his own, and they ended up taking the body. So we come back with, instead of 20 boys, we come back with 19, Mr. Watkin and Mr. Unwin were taking it.
Yeah.
But they were still allowed to take us to Holland the next year.
Yeah.
Now, I think if that would happen today, they wouldn't have been able to, would they?
No, I think that would have been a huge inquiry over that. So this boy just drowned swimming unattended in the river, had he?
Yes, apparently so, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Was he somebody that you knew? Was he a friend of yours? Or
I don't know. He wasn't a friend of mine,
yeah.
though.
So, I mean, this bullying that you described, did this completely spoil the whole time for you?
No, I enjoyed the blue coat, really.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I enjoyed, you know, this business of the routine on a Sunday where you were changing clothes all day.
Yeah, into the traditional uniform.
No, well, we used to wear grey suits.
Yeah.
In the morning service,
yeah,
and then changing into our blazers, our best blazers, and we used to go out for a walk for 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon,
yeah,
and then we went and had tea, and then we had evensong, and we could see our parents after the evensong, you know.
Yeah.
So you were changing clothes. And another thing I've been thinking all week. We never wore long trousers until you were 14.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
but my mother had to get permission from the headmaster to let me wear long trousers when I was 14.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, was your mum able? Did your mum was she best enough to come and visit you on Sunday afternoons?
Oh, she'd come every Sunday. Yeah.
She would do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, was it good status to be at Blue Coat School? Was it something you were proud of?
Of course I'm proud of it. Very proud to have been a member. I wouldn't have left in my will half to the Blue Coats and half to the Masons, would I, if I wasn't being proud of it? We used to go to the cathedral once every year.
Yeah.
And we used to march into the school's slow march.
Yeah.
And the day boys had to come as well.
So was this for Founders Day?
No, it was just one Sunday.
Right.
And you know, and we were walking over the building site because the cathedral was still being built in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was fortunate enough. My mother was in the towns and still, this is when I'm working.
Yeah.
To go to the service when the Queen actually open the final bay and the cathedral was finished. So that was, you know, I'd been there as a blue coat boy where we always used to march in, but I went to that service, which was very, very nice.
Yeah. And What was the teaching like? Did you feel that you got a good education?
I reckon I got a good education, yes. There was one teacher got sent away after a little bit of, looking at the wrong place to a boy, a bit of sexual thing.
We were told
not to say anything about it.
Yeah.
And we had a public caning one day.
A public caning?
These boys had been, I don't know whether they'd been smoking or what, but we had a public caning in Shirley Hall just for the boarders.
Really?
And Mr. Watkins caned these boys, yeah.
So, as you say, it was quite tough.
Mm. It was tough, yeah. Mm. But it was good.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the business, and the class distinction,
was
between the grammar and the secondary modern.
Yeah.
It was between the boarders and the day dykes.
Right. So it was like two tribes, was it?
Well, the thing is, it's silly this, but we used to line up for lunch, right? And the boarders would line up on one side, and the day boys on the other. And we'd go in and we'd sit, we'd all mix together.
Yeah.
And we'd all mix together in the class, but it wasn't it funny, we had to line up as boarders in one side. And when when we had a blue tie, but when we went out on a Sunday or in our best Sunday clothes, we had a darker tie, which I don't think the day boys had. Well, I was proud to have been a blue coat boy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Being a boarder, was it boring? Did you have a lot of time in the evenings and that kind of thing?
We used to have homework till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And obviously, being in the one, we didn't have as much. I wrote several accounts of trips that went on, when in the school holidays.
Yeah.
When I was 15, I went on youth hosting trips on my own, one at Easter and one in the summer, and I wrote all that down, which I've still got.
Yeah.
And then I went on Outward Bound course in 1958, the last term I was at school.
Right.
At Eskdale.
Yeah.
And there, whereas the blue coat is treated like a child, there I was treated like an adult. And then I left school, and I was pushed in an office, and I hated it.
Right.
And I was there for 18 months, and I got the sack because I was no good at writing.
Yeah.
And I finished work my week's notice, and on the following day, I was going to the Labour Exchange on the Monday. I never got there. There was a letter from Blackpool Catering College to say that I'd been accepted for catering chef's course.
Right.
And that changed my life.
Okay, so what happened next?
I went 2 years of catering college where we were treated like an adult.
Yeah.
I loved it. And then I went into the Exchange Hotel as an apprentice.
Oh yes.
And they took the 2 years that had a catering college and made it a 5 year. So I got I ended up with not only the college thing, I'd ended up with the certificate of apprenticeship as well.
Yeah.
And then I left there and things didn't go very well. I ended up at the United Liverpool Hospitals as a mobile cook. And I worked for them for 5 years. I got the sack for getting nasty with people. And I was off. I was under the doctor for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I applied to Warrington Hospital. And I got in at Warrington Hospital and I served 33 years as a chef there.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've had a long career then.
Yeah.
You still enjoy cooking now, John?
Yeah, I don't do as much, but I live on my own. I've got absolutely no relatives or anything. Yeah, I don't make the bread anymore. I've stopped making the bread.
So you're not married?
I've never married or anything. No, I'm a loner.
Oh, right, okay. Do you think that was because of the school days, because of the circumstances of...
I don't know properly, because we never mixed with girls, did we? No.
No, well, exactly. This was completely kept apart, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
We did have another gentleman today say something very similar. He felt that because you were quite institutionalised almost. And
It was institutionalised, yeah.
Yeah, and that personal relationships possibly were... more difficult to form because of that start in life.
Yeah.
Would you say that might
be similar? Well, I was independent, because to go youth crossing on your own at 15.
Yeah.
Is quite
and
then the what's the name? You know, I used to go the walking. I used to love the walking, but in 1971, I went on a boat trip on the up to Union Canal.
Okay,
and ended up, a long story short, ended up only in boats for 30 years on the canals.
Oh, wow.
I ended up with, still a member of Lynn Cruising Club.
Yeah.
And I was, this time, we moved to Warrington, where after being there for about 9 years, at which time I was nursing my mother, because I was her carer for many years, you see.
Yeah.
And we used to take her on the boat. And when she died, the canals were never quite the same. I went on a trip, but I went on a day out to a mere near here called Pennington Flash, and on a sailing boat. And it ended up me taking up sailing, and I've just sold my sailing boat.
Oh, wow.
Because, unfortunately, my eyes now don't meet the standard, and I've had to sell my car.
Oh, dear.
But I've had quite an interesting life, really. I'm quite happy with it now.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, well, that's great then, John. Thanks very much indeed for your time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And John, if you've got any memorabilia from Blue Coat School that...
I haven't really,
you haven't really. I was just going to say, we're building up the archive, so if you've got anything you wanted to give us at some point, perhaps we'd be interested in taking it. But
maybe even some of your, you know, you said you've written down some of the trips away.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'll tell you what, at the moment, I'm trying to get a magnifier, because I can't read the newspaper now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult. I have been trying for years to make this note into a book, but I've never got round to it, you know.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I hope I've been of some help to you.
Oh, yes, indeed. So, but as Chris said, any of these accounts that you've written of the school trips and so on, you'd like to pass on to us, if you wish at some time, we'd be delighted to have them in the archive.
Well, who would I contact?
Well, if you just send them through to the development office.
The development office. I'll just write that down. Development office, okay.
Yeah, well, if actually mark them for my attention. My name is Peter Elson, which is spelled E-L-S-O-N.
Peter
Elson, E-L S-O-N.
Yeah.
Just mark them for my attention, or just use that as a contact for anything in the future.
Well, if I ever send them, I might bring them down and drop them at the Blue Coat office if I...
Well, that's fine. If you can give me some warning, we can give you a tour of the school. Have you been back to the school recently at all?
No, I went back a few years ago, yeah.
Right. Well, if you just...
Because that chapel...